This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
The rumors are true, and you heard it here first, or maybe second or third, but you heard it here. Brian Stelter, our reliable source, is officially out at CNN. CNN is canceling its Sunday media affairs show, Reliable Sources, and host Brian Stelter is departing the network, Stelter tells NPR. In a statement to NPR, Stelter says he's grateful for the show and his team's examination of the media, truth, and the stories that shape our world. It was a rare privilege to lead a weekly show focused on the press at a time when it has never been more consequential. Well.
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey.
Liz Cheney and Brian Stelter and Jeffrey Toobin all defeated in the matter of weeks. And I want to point something out. There's a lot of great memes going around about this. Obviously, CNN is going in a different direction. That is goes without saying. But something I wanted to point out, and this is probably going to be the only original, maybe not even, but thing that popped into my head right away, was that when I think of Brian Stelter, I think of his obsession with Fox News. And every time he criticized Fox News, I couldn't believe the lack of self-awareness. Because if you have a show that no one's watching and no one's listening to, you've got to have some, what does Carrie Lake say? Some cojones.
That's not what Carrie Lake says.
We'll pretend that's what she said. To go out there and criticize shows on a network that actually has ratings. I always thought, Taylor, that always blew my mind. I'm like, is no one going to point out the fact that here's the logic? So he would get up there and he would say, you know, Fox News is thinking about not covering January 6th. Fox News is, why don't they have anchors who are getting vaccinated on the air and then taking selfies and vaccinations? He would talk about Fox News around the clock and why they weren't doing what he was doing. And I just kept thinking, well, because, Brian, they don't want to have ratings like you have. It's a pretty logical jump where if you look at a show and no one likes it and no one's watching it, and the person on that show is saying, hey, you should be doing what I'm doing. Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? That you would say, we're good. We're going to stick to doing what we're doing because people like
you guys are running faster than me in this race. Can you slow down? Why are you running so fast?
You should be running like I'm running. Run like me. No, we're okay. He was obsessed with Fox News, and I hate to say it like this. I don't mean to sound cruel, but perhaps if he had spent more time focused on his own program, focused on his own show, and making that the best program it could be, then maybe Reliable Sources would have had a different fate. But alas, he was fixated on Fox. He was fixated.
So, I say all of that to make the following point. Where are Tucker and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham? Where is Ainsley Earhart and Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade? Where are the biggest stars on Fox getting vaccinated? I get it's a personal choice. I get that's between, you know, the hosts and their healthcare provider. But everybody else is doing it, right, Matt? I mean, all across television, all these anchors are rolling up their sleeves. Why do you think we haven't seen the biggest stars on Fox News get vaccinated or show us their vaccine selfies?
You know what all those hosts also have in common, Taylor?
Employment?
Yep. You said it, not me. I never understood, and I don't want to gloat. I don't want to, you know, gloat about the fact, but he's been so sanctimonious for so long. He's been so smug. He really thinks he's smarter and better than everybody else. And nobody was watching that show. They didn't think he was a reliable source after all. And all he would talk about was how everyone else was getting the news coverage wrong. Well, it turns out that that's not exactly true. Now,
being clear about the threat to democracy is one of the most important things that American journalists can do. However, Lauren, doesn't that turn off a sizable part of the country? Doesn't it turn off a sizable part of the country every time we're talking about election deniers?
I'm going to say something. This is a hot take, Taylor, and you might have to reel me back in here, but I think I'm going to miss him. I think I'm going to miss the occasional
Don't worry,
clip.
Grace. There will be somebody not too far behind also giving you an occasional clip.
Yeah, do you think Stelter will go somewhere else now? Do you think that he's bound for something else? Or do you think
probably
he's
do something like Keith Olbermann does.
Yeah, a podcast of sorts.
Exactly.
Stelter, we got to think about, this is a busy week for Taylor. He's coming up with titles for Liz Cheney's new book. Now you're going to have to come up with a title for Brian Stelter's new podcast. Again, you're not going to get any of the credit from this or any of the royalties, but come up with your best thing, Taylor, for Brian Stelter, and we'll see if it makes the cut. But a big, big week in the media, as Brian Stelter likes to say, in the media landscape. A lot is changing in the media landscape. Now, speaking of, this is actually a nice reason to play some of these cuts that we have. The Inflation Reduction Act is officially happening. And if you watch Joe Manchin, when he gets interviewed about this, you can already see, what I see when I look in his eyes is regret. I see a man who's realizing, I might have made a deal with the devil, and I don't even think I'm going to get what I was promised out of this deal. Because he was promised, you know, some aspects of a, or he was promised pipelines, something to do with pipelines in West Virginia. And compared to the size and scope of this bill, it wasn't worth it for him to make this deal, but that's what he did. Because he said, you know, if I can go back to West Virginians and show them something, then I can hold my head up high. Paraphrasing here. But it turns out that the Democrats aren't really keen on even giving him those promises. So now he gets asked about it, and I want you to listen to what he had to say. This was Manchin when he was asked if the bill will fight inflation. Again, it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. So I would assume that it's going to fight inflation. This is cut one.
When it comes to inflation, is it misleading to call this the Inflation Reduction Act for Americans when it's not going to make their grocery bill cheaper? It's not going to make everyday goods cheaper for them.
Why would it? Well, immediately it's not, but I mean, we never seen anything happen immediately. Like today, it's turned the switch on and off.
Ooh, gonna have to fact check you there, Joe, because one of my favorite Biden officials, Belmont Brian Deese, who is one of Joe's economic advisors. Is he the National Economic Council, something or other? He's got so many advisors. No one can screw in a light bulb, but he's got plenty of advisors. This is what Brian Deese had to say on CNN. Taylor, can I have cut three, please?
On the point that you made about the timing of when people will start to see relief, you know, some of the provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act are going to help really immediately. The provisions that give consumers tax rebates or tax credits for going out and buying more energy efficient heaters, more energy efficient appliances, those are enacted immediately.
Immediately, if not sooner. Immediately, he says. And yet Joe Manchin is singing a different tune. It's almost like they're not on the same page. And I wanted to tell you one other thing that's a strike in Joe Manchin's book. Now Bill Gates is almost... Hear me out on this. Bill Gates is almost doing to Joe Manchin what Trump is doing to Carolyn Maloney. Bill, as if Joe Manchin isn't in a tough enough spot by backing this bill. Now Bill Gates is coming out and saying, I was the one who convinced him. I really pushed him over the edge. He wasn't sure about it. And then I came along and I really made sure that we could get him on board.
If Bill Gates is on your side, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I don't think people in West Virginia are going to be very impressed by that Bill Gates had Joe Manchin's ear. Let's have cut two.
In maintaining that dialogue, including in the last month where, you know, people felt like, okay, we tried, we're done, it failed. And, you know, because I believed it was a unique opportunity, my trying to bridge the communication gap and encourage people to make one more effort, you know, because of the relationship we'd built up over time, you know, we were able to talk even at a time when he felt people weren't listening.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Like I said about Trump with Carolyn Maloney, and also I said this about the teachers union making ads about Trump with enemies and friends like this. Who needs enemies or friends? I mean, everyone, if Trump is backing you, you don't need friends or you don't need enemies because he's going to sink your ship just by giving you his endorsement. And if Bill Gates is saying to everyone, oh, we're really BFFs, you know, I don't think that plays well either. So good luck to Joe Manchin. I can already see it in his eyes that he's not happy with this decision that he made. Too bad, though. We're all going to have to pay for it, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Grace, I switched my voter registration to West Virginia when I retired in 2018, and I've talked to neighbors about this bill, and what we got the local media down here is that there were provisions to continue this gas line that was going to go from the Carolinas through West Virginia into Pennsylvania. Those are $40 an hour jobs. They pay union wages along with another $20 an hour in benefits. The only problem is that it basically was on a handshake. It wasn't an ironclad agreement.
Right.
And if this doesn't happen, he's going to pay a huge price for this, because you cannot trust people in Washington, D.C. And as Harry Truman once said, if you want a friend in Washington, D.C., get a dog.
Yeah, no, Tom, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I wasn't exactly sure what the promises were, but I knew it had something to do with those union jobs. And I also have been hearing there's rumors that Democrats are already backing away from it, that the far left faction of the Democrat Party, as Nancy Pelosi says, that's like five people, the progressive wing, are already fighting back against these promises that Chuck Schumer made to Joe Manchin. So he might come out of this empty handed. I don't know how you think a handshake with Chuck Schumer is a guarantee of anything. If Joe Manchin really believes that, then he's more out to lunch than I even was aware of. It looks like history is repeating itself. Today, Biden's economy is mirroring that of Jimmy Carter. The parallels are uncanny. Under Carter, both the stock market and the dollar lost more than half their value, and the price of oil quadrupled. Those who owned precious metals in the 1970s saw the value of gold rise over 1,300%. Right now, we're seeing a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold as high as $5,000. A network analyst predicts $15,000 in 3 years. Get Monetary Gold's complimentary protection guide if you want to protect your savings from greedy socialists like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and who we were just talking about, Chuck Schumer. Monetary Gold is rated a top five with the BBB for 22 years. And my listeners who open a qualified account today will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. That's right, $5,000 in free gold or silver. So call 888-617-7994 and ask for their free guide. That's 888-617-7994, or visit monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. This is breaking news. The judge has unsealed some of the documents behind the Mar-a-Lago raid. We will find out more about this and report it to you when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The judge in West Palm Beach, who's Judge Bruce Reinhart, also the judge who greenlit the search warrant for Mar-a-Lago, has decided that the entire affidavit should not be sealed. What that means, we're not quite sure yet as far as what documents we can expect to see. I am seeing some reports on Twitter about what the judge thinks should be unsealed. But I'll be honest, I haven't seen anything from a source that I'm willing to report on yet. I'll wait till I see a few blue check marks. Not that that means anything. Not that that means that they're reliable sources by any means. But I'm going to wait just a little bit longer till we get a little bit more information. 844-500-4242. Now, the DOJ's argument was that this could have a chilling effect if they unseal this affidavit. But obviously, Trump's argument is that he has a very interesting past with the FBI, with the DOJ, and so everything should be as transparent as possible. Don't you think it's weird, though, that the judge who signed off on a search warrant is the one deciding if things should be unsealed? It feels like he already has a dog in this fight.
I'm not sure about all the legalese of all of it, but I think that's just the natural course of things.
Yeah, it will be strange to see what. I just read a report about what they're unsealing, and it didn't seem like it was much, but that could be wrong. Now, today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The 3-pack is back. The 3-pack is a great value, and the top 3 uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Taylor, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who do you want to win New York's 12th congressional district race? Jerry Nadler, Carolyn Maloney, Suraj Patel, or Ashmi Sheff?
I'm going to go with Carolyn Maloney. I agree with, if Donald Trump sees something in her, so do I.
44% say Carolyn Maloney, 35% say Suraj Patel, 14% for Ashmi Sheff, and only 6% for Wadlin Jerry Nadler.
Can we take a little bit of Fox News right now, Taylor, and just see what they're saying about this?
Thursday is a long time for a filing from the DOJ about what the redactions would look like. And you've already seen, as you mentioned, that foreshadowing from DOJ filing that they believe that the affidavit itself would be marked out so much that it essentially would be a black piece of paper. So you have the former president saying it should all go out. But we should point out, in court, the Trump lawyers did not file a motion for that purpose. They didn't do that. They didn't have to, but they could have had that choice to file a motion. They didn't. The judge says he's not inclined to unseal the entire affidavit. And so he wants to see from the Justice Department what exactly those redactions are. And he says specifically, be prepared to explain the redactions and defend them. Bottom line is that this is not a quick process here. And if anybody thought that this was just going to be a magistrate saying, poof, it's done, here it is, everybody can see it, that's not happening. It's very cautious, and we'll see the next step.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, as far as what I've been reading, no one thought that they were even going to unseal anything. So I definitely don't think anyone thought this was going to be a quick poof and then we were going to see the entire affidavit. 844-500-4242. We will keep you posted on this. I know I keep saying that, but it is breaking news. And so we're trying to gather a little bit of information on it before we get anything to you. In this last segment, though, I wanted to do something a little bit lighter. So I saw this headline today from the Wall Street Journal, and it was, you paid for extra legroom. Do you get anything else? And it's this whole conversation about splurging on the cushier economy seats near the front of the plane. And this kind of got me thinking, like, what are some things you splurge on? What are some things that you'll never give up? And for me, it's buying coffee on my way into work. I know it's a waste of money. I know it's overpriced. And still, I like the ritual of it. I like to do it every day. I'm never going to stop doing it. And that's just the choice I've decided to make in my life. So I told that to Howie. I said, that could be a fun segment on my show. And he said, well, check out this piece in the Wall Street Journal. Employers need a lot more than pizza to bring back workers. We've had this conversation before about remote work versus going into the office and, you know, the pros and cons of both. In this piece, the author, Alex Janin, interviews people who talk about the food bribery that happens now in these offices and what it takes to get them to drive in. And I want to talk about this and see if there's anything that your company has been doing that pulls you back. Right when you think you're out, they pull you back in. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And, I mean, for all we know, these emails are made up, or maybe some are real and others are fakes. We don't know. But we do know that this is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
The right-wing media machine is offering Brian Stelter a lot of new job openings. I've already seen Greg Gutfeld post for Brian Stelter that he's welcome to join Greg Gutfeld's show. I saw the Babylon Bee is looking to hire Brian Stelter. So
they'd have to make that the 5.5.
The possibilities are endless. And by the way, we are breaking news we're reading the news that the judge has unsealed. The judge wants to unseal some of the documents behind the Mar-a-Lago raid. According to Kyle Becker, Judge Bruce Reinhart will unseal documents used for FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago, including the sealing order, the motion to seal, and the criminal cover sheet. All of these documents will be heavily redacted. Search warrant affidavit ruling yet to come. Nothing surprising there. I'm sure we'll get a big paper full of black marks that don't tell us much of anything. And because of that, I'm going to move on, and I'm actually going to cover some other stories. Before we get to this Wall Street Journal piece, which I'm very excited to read, I wanted to read you one little snippet of a Newsweek article by Charles Lipson, and it's titled "Sanctuary Cities Seethe as Illegal Immigrants Actually Arrive." Now, I've been covering this. I've been writing about it in a lot of my columns, which I hope you've been checking out, because it does drive me crazy. I think it's the perfect example of liberal hypocrisy. You know, illegal aliens for thee, but not for me, not in my backyard, all of the above. And I saw this article today that New York City is giving 6K luxury hotel rooms to border crossers as rents skyrocket for Americans. The Daily Mail reports that there is no price tag attached to the request that was released Wednesday, which was made under the emergency contracting powers invoked by Mayor Eric Adams when the migrant crisis first began. The Department of Homeless Services had previously asked nonprofit social service providers to send in proposals to rent rooms and provide aid for 600 families set to be housed in a luxury midtown hotel. And it would come on top of the estimated 200 already secured and providing housing for families at the Skyline Hotel on 10th Avenue. Now, Charles Lipson's piece in Newsweek, he writes, "The surest sign that public policies are simply virtue signals is when the messages don't cost anything. The easiest way to tell when that signal starts to fail is to watch politicians flounder as the costs start to rise and voters demand relief." I start thinking of Florida. It was free for Disney to stomp around and say, "We don't like this bill that Governor Ron DeSantis is putting out there. We don't like it. We want you to change it." And then Governor Ron DeSantis was like, "Okay, well, we don't like that you don't have to pay as much taxes as everybody else." And then Disney, cat got their tongue real quick. Back to this article, he says, "It was free and meaningless for progressive churches to post banners calling themselves nuclear-free zones during the Reagan era. Their dwindling congregations loved it. It was free after George Floyd's murder to post woke signs on your front lawn proclaiming, 'In this house, we believe Black Lives Matter, women's rights are human rights, no human is illegal,' and so on. Maybe the neighbors gave you high fives, and for years it has been free for deep blue cities to proclaim themselves sanctuaries for illegal immigrants. That's changing now that voters want some sanctuary for themselves." This is a really, really dead-on piece. And then he goes on to say, "The buses are a political stunt, of course, but a very shrewd one. I feel the same way. When Abbott started up with these buses, I fully admit that I was like, oh, God. More political theater, more grandstanding. This will last a couple days, and then he'll backtrack on it." And I haven't, you know, Abbott's okay, but I haven't been overly impressed with anything he's doing in Texas. He's way better than the alternatives, don't get me wrong. But still, I sometimes think that there's got to be more he could do about the border. However, I was dead wrong on this, because this has caused such a reaction from these virtue-signaling, compassionate liberals. And it's a really smart thing to do. And I have to imagine that Abbott and Ducey in Arizona, that they're starting to take cues from Ron DeSantis. Like, these other red state governors are going, this guy is not playing defense. He's playing offense. He's using action to get his message across.
forcing them to do something about it, putting the ball in their court.
Exactly. And I think they did learn a little bit of that from Ron DeSantis, who I think learned a lot about that from Donald Trump. So Charles goes on to say, Abbott is up for re-election and he's visibly showing his support for beleaguered Texas cities and counties. He's, like Taylor just said, he's doing something that puts the ball in other people's court. And he's saying, listen, you're not built for the infrastructure. Well, guess what? These Texas cities, these beleaguered Texas cities aren't built for it either. O'Rourke specializes in showy, this is Beto O'Rourke, showy high-profile gestures, but has no plan to alleviate the migrant problem. Finally, Abbott hopes to force the hand of national Democrats who don't care one iota about the social, financial, and law enforcement burdens facing his state, but do care about those immigrants arriving in Manhattan or D.C. How will we know whether Abbott has opened progressives' eyes to the problem? We won't until progressive mayors and governors start openly demanding that the Biden administration staunch the flow. Not at urban bus terminals, but at the southern border. So far, they have not done that. They complain about Governor Abbott, not about President Biden, and are beginning to snipe at Alejandro Mayorkas and Vice President Kamala Harris, the border czar. And Mayorkas and Harris may be hapless, but they did not create this fiasco. Joe Biden did. Really good piece by Charles Lipson. Okay, now on to the topic I've been waiting to discuss for most of this show. Just a quick recap, though. The judge will be unsealing some of the documents involved in the Mar-a-Lago raid, and Brian Stelter is no longer at CNN. Reliable sources has been canceled. In case you're just tuning in and you're thinking, has Grace covered any of these issues? We did. We did cover them today. So here's the headline, Taylor, and I really want your reaction. Employers need a lot more than pizza to bring back workers. When bosses first tried to lure people back to the office with free food, the doubter said a lukewarm pizza slice or plastic-wrapped bagel could never measure up to the convenience of working from home. Two lessons for businesses have since emerged. First, never underestimate the number of workers willing to be bribed. Second, the food has better be good. Now, I like this because the Wall Street Journal they've been doing a lot of pieces on remote work. And it is the Boston Globe does it too. It's a very popular topic right now for good reason. And they had this story a few months ago about a CEO from Wayfair who once a week told the workers that his employees, that he was going to be in on Tuesdays and he would have lunch with them.
Taco Tuesdays.
And he said, I'll be in there on Tuesday. Meet me at the break room. We'll have lunch, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's right. And only one guy would show up, right?
Yeah, he said like over the course of a few months, a handful of people showed up. And I was shocked by this. I actually put it on Twitter. I took a little excerpt from it and tweeted it out. And I said, is anyone else surprised that none of these young people are taking the opportunity to meet with the CEO? And I kind of got a mixed bag. I got so many responses. Most of the people were saying, yes, that's shocking. They're missing an opportunity. And then some of the people were saying, I'm not going in to suck up to the CEO for no reason. I'm not inconveniencing myself, whatever, whatever. But there was one guy who tweeted back and he read the excerpt. And in the excerpt, the guy said, I bring a peanut butter sandwich. I sit in the break room and I ask people to come eat with me. And this guy tweeted back at me and said, you're going to have to up the ante from a peanut butter sandwich. That doesn't sound appealing
to anyone. That just shows he's a regular guy. He eats his PB&J one half at a time like everybody else.
But he doesn't even have the J, he just has the PB.
I think that's inferred. A peanut butter sandwich means peanut butter and jelly.
No, I don't think so.
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yes. What kind of maniac just puts peanut butter on bread and calls that a sandwich?
I disagree. I think if you're saying you have a peanut butter sandwich, you're having peanut butter in a sandwich. No. You're not having jelly. That's not
peanut
inferred.
Butter and jelly.
Why wouldn't
it's
you
implied.
Say PB&J? That's like the most common thing of all time. PB&J. They have it's literally
some people,
an acronym.
Some people don't like acronyms.
Okay. Well, that's not. Damn, Taylor. I knew we were going to go down a rabbit hole. I just didn't know it was going to be that one. Well, my point is that now in this article, it talks about how if you want to get people in, you can't just say, oh, come eat lunch with the CEO. You have to provide the lunch.
By the way, I'd be stoked if they said it was peanut butter and jelly day here at work. Stoked. Favorite lunch of all time.
Yeah, it's a solid lunch. You know who loves PB&J?
Who's that?
Joe Biden. Him and Eric Adams were Excellent. Having a PB&J in a car together and their
Wash
knees were knocking.
Down with some mint chocolate chip?
Yeah. So it has been easy to skip the office commute on pizza day, one guy said in this article, but not for breakfast burrito stuffed with soft tofu, grilled squash, zucchini, and onions. Last week they had banh mi, and I was like, oh, I'll definitely go in for that, he said. And then one lady said she can't miss Mexican food days and that sometimes she takes home leftovers for dinner. An accountant now comes into the office three times a week, paying close attention to staff emails that preview the following day's menu. You can't waste a good taco. As of February, more than half of U.S. businesses surveyed said they provide free snacks and beverages to employees. That compared with fewer than a third that offered treats in 2019. One woman says she stays home when pizza and burgers are served at the office, but the shredded pork burrito bowl with black beans, red onion, and corn had her in the office 4 days in a row. Today they have black bean enchiladas, she said. I might scope that out. All of
with
these
the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
But will they get people into the office? That's the question, Dr. B.
Yeah, pizza's not going to do it for me.
All these people sound like Howie. Like, I might have to go scope it out. I picture them all with Ziploc bags. I might have to stop by and see.
We're spoiled here, though. We get food all the time. Great restaurants bring in food whenever.
It's true.
But some days we look at it and just go, I can't. It's been too much all week.
Some days you're just, you're full. Your cup runneth over. But one woman says she sees the freebies as part of her total compensation package. She came in one day because she ran out of coffee. But I'm conflicted, she said, because I know it's a ploy to get people in and spend more hours here. Well, yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's kind of a give and take. Like, they're not giving you food so you can take it home with you and then leave the office.
Right.
Matt Schmidt, owner of an insurance company, said he gets maybe 8 of his 12 employees to the office in Carnegie, Pennsylvania, on days he pays for lunch. Buffalo chicken wraps are a favorite. It's something we probably should have started doing a bit sooner. In one company, they actually offered $250 Amazon gift cards he would give employees, picking at random among those who showed up at the office. Yet even that didn't move the needle. Then he turned back to the old days when he paid employees with free sandwiches. They'd work forever in a day for a meatball sub, he said. I do want to point out that at one point, my sister was working down the street and she would ask me to pick her up. Her car was in the shop. And it was out of my way to go pick her up and then circle back and then come here. But one, she's my sister. I love her. And two, she would always buy me a coffee when I would go to get her. And for some reason, that did make it...
He kind of became Pavlov's dog.
Yeah. Like, it made it a lot less painful, you know? And I know that probably, like, how much I was spending in gas just to backtrack was not worth the coffee. But it was something about getting the coffee and someone else getting it. I was like, yeah, we're even, Steven. That works. So I kind of understand this a little bit. Starting in July, he allows employees to expense lunches for up to $25 on days they worked in the office. He said the bonus has persuaded roughly 15 to 20 employees out of roughly 85 to work more days in the office. Cheyenne Goodrich posted a TikTok of an office ice cream social with the caption, "I only go into the office for the free food and snacks." I don't know if we need to be publishing that.
Rubbing it in their face.
I know.
It's the only reason... You're not a good enough person for me to show up here on my own and enjoy your company. I've got to be bribed.
One guy says, or one person says, they are trying to get people back in, and I'm not going to lie, it's working. The weight of my heart is absolutely through my stomach.
Yeah. There's too much of a good thing, though, you know?
That's what
Howie
said, too.
I can do. I can't do that every day.
I think like a once a week. I think if you plan it out for, let's say, a Wednesday, a nice midweek Wednesday situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get people in, you might be able to work it so they have to come in the next day. Once they're in the office, they're less inclined to decline like an invitation to meet the next day.
Did your high school ever do anything like perfect attendance record? You get a free car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine not a free
too.
Car. Ooh.
Well, you were entered to win a free car.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what my high school did. But after like year two, I was like, I need a day off.
Wait, I have a question. Did you have to go for all 4 years?
All 4 years.
With perfect attendance?
Perfect attendance.
That's impossible.
It's not.
It's impossible for me.
I know the person who did it. I remember.
Did she win a car?
She won a car.
Wow. A nice car?
Jeep, yeah.
Nice. Good for her. I mean, she's earned it. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We get asked all the time if it really works. Taylor, tell everyone about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm.
It's great. I use it in my basement. Tiny little baby unit. It's plugs right in. Tiny little baby
unit. I was going to say, you're going into Trump there for a sec.
Plugs right in the wall. You don't even see it. It's fantastic. Great, great appliance. It's not even really an appliance. It's really a miracle. It's a modern miracle of technology. Cleans the air, so pure, you won't believe it.
It really does, and it doesn't require air filters. It's easy to use. You just plug it in. No filters are required, like Trump said. And you
like Eden Pure, Garden of Eden. It's pure. You get the Eden, you get the pure. It's fantastic.
It's very, very true. You might have to do that now for all our Eden Pure commercials. I'm enjoying this. And the best part is it's a 3-pack. So you can keep one, give one to a friend, maybe give one to a former president if he wants to try it out. There are no filters to replace. It saves you time and money. And all you have to do to get the 3-pack today is go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. They'd work forever and a day for a meatball sub. Ain't that the truth?
That slows you down. I used to live on meatball subs.
They're so good. You ever put a little provolone cheese in there?
Absolutely. It weighs you down, though. You're asking for a tough rest of the day with a meatball sub.
I think we need to have Howie in here to figure out this PB&J debate. We're going to put a nail in this coffin when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. The judge has unsealed some of the docs behind the Mar-a-Lago raid, but don't get too excited. I don't think we're going to see anything too interesting. There's going to be a lot of redactions. In other news, Brian Stelter is leaving CNN. Reliable Sources program has been canceled. This comes on the heels of the news that Jeffrey Toobin is leaving CNN. So the hits just keep on coming. Joining us now to discuss all of this is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Howie, if someone said to you, I'm having a peanut butter sandwich, would you assume that it's a peanut butter and jelly?
Yes.
All right. I totally disagree with you guys. I'm going to have to put this up to a poll for my Twitter followers.
It's implied.
I don't think so. In other news, Howie, give us your honest reaction to the breaking news that Brian Stelter's time on CNN has come to an end.
I think we know when his contract expires, which was probably August 31st, because I figured, you know, once Toobin was let go, as soon as his contract expired, I figured that's the way they're going to, they owe $300 billion or something like that. They're not going to be firing people and paying them money not to show up. So I assume that, you know, his contract ran out and there was no way he was ever going to be renewed.
Well, first Toobin, then Stelter. You know who must be getting nervous?
Jim Acosta.
I think so.
That's my poll question. Who do you want fired next at CNN?
It's between Don Lemon and Jim Acosta, I'm assuming.
Well, there's also Jake Tapper.
No, I would take Acosta.
He's a real scumbag.
I would take Acosta over Jake Tapper. I think most people would.
Jake Tapper was involved in the whole Russian collusion hoax, you know, pretending it was real.
I'm going to bet that out of those three, Acosta wins. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
And we also have Wolfman Blitzer.
I don't even know if he's important enough for people to vote
for. He's in his 70s anyway. He's kind of on the back nine.
Howie Carr has a wonderful show planned. He has a lot of news to get to. So don't go anywhere. Have a wonderful Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday show at Cape Gunworks. See you tomorrow.